much about.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I've never done this before. I don't even quite know what I'm expecting, so.
Why don't we start from the beginning?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Oh, have you read these stories about these clowns coming to towns and, like, spooking children?
Yeah, like when there have been people have been filling out police reports and stuff.
Yeah, can you see if that's a paid gig? I don't know how you do that. Maybe just go in the woods?
Like, go look for clowns doing it in the woods and ask them if they get paid?
Yeah, but don't get in the way of their work. Just ask them, you know, is this a paid gig?
If it doesn't pay, but it could get you really great exposure, would you be interested?
How you thinking, Martha? Yeah, that sounds good. But only go in the woods at night, because I think that's when most of this stuff is happening. Don't go during the day. You're not going to find any clowns or children.
And now...
I don't feel great about where this is going. How do you feel about where this is going?
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 27th of February.
So that happened.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so, hey, good morning, everybody. First of all, it's Monday.
Hey.
Second of all, the Academy Awards ended about 25 minutes ago, so we're still kind of figuring out what happened. But what happened?
I assume you're talking about the Warren Beatty Best Picture thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not positive. I've heard many different explanations.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But basically, for those of you who didn't watch it, they did announce La La Land as the Best Picture. And then La La Land came up on stage and gave what seemed like 5 minutes of thank yous.
Almost 2.5 minutes.
Was it? Okay.
It was almost 2.5, which seems like a long time for somebody to realize that the wrong name had been rung.
So apparently they didn't win the Best Picture. And my wife said, why is that guy in the headset taking people's Oscars from them?
Yeah, it looks so sketchy. Everything started happening on the right side of the screen. And
yes.
You're like, what is happening?
So then I guess it was the producer of La La Land on the mic and said Moonlight won.
Right.
And then no one believed it because they've been giving speeches for 2.5 minutes.
Right.
And plus, we're kind of used to award shows where something like it just happened a couple weeks ago at the Grammys, where Adele's holding her Grammy and she says, but Beyonce, you really had the best album of the year. And it looked like it was one of those deals, which is, yeah, I know we won, but Moonlight, you know, what up?
No, but Moonlight had actually won and they just read the wrong name.
So,
yeah. So that was odd. So then you had to say, I'm not joking, everybody.
Right.
This is real, and they won, and congratulations.
And immediately I thought, Jimmy Kimmel, you did not just prank us again. How'd you get all of La La Land in on it? Wow.
I was wondering, that was going to be one of my questions, Allie, is how long it took you to start thinking of the possible conspiracy theories around it.
No, I immediately thought, is this a prank?
Mm-hmm.
And then it just went to...
And is Cousin Sal involved? Is Matt Damon involved?
Right. What's going on? And then it went to, oh, no. Oh, poor La La Land. But mostly, poor Moonlight. They didn't get their moment of that pure, sheer joy for everything that movie was.
Both movies got a cluster F moment.
Absolutely. Do you have a theory of what happened?
No, I heard that they gave Warren Beatty... a thing saying that Emma Stone had won for La La Land.
The previous award.
So it was the wrong card.
Yes.
Okay.
But here's
the thing, and I'm sure, you know, we'll break it down later today. We've got people on the show who know more about this stuff than we do, including our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter, who certainly will have the answer. But my understanding is the PricewaterhouseCooper people are situated on either side of the stage.
Right.
We need new accountants.
Right? They've been doing it for 85 years something. And this has never happened before. And by the way, how crazy is it that it happens for the Best Picture? This didn't happen for Best Short Documentary.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
This happened at the moment. Okay.
Right.
So there's one on each side of the stage, and it seems like whichever side of the stage the presenter is coming from is handed the envelope to walk out with.
Mm-hmm.
And what I think the person on the other side of the stage is probably supposed to just ditch that envelope because it's not needed. And that's what it looks like happened to me. Is that Emma Stone's La La Land came out from one side, and then the other person didn't ditch it and then handed it to the next person, Warren Beatty, and they went away to come out.
Exactly.
That, to me, seems like the most likely thing that happened.
Yes.
But I mean, in the long history of hashtag, you had one job. It just seems like
important word and, here. And I know imagine only, he's out of a gig today.
They're only humans, and people make mistakes. And ultimately, it's not that big a deal. Ultimately, but it is surprising that something like that could happen. It would be like not proofreading something, 40 times that you're getting ready to have tattooed on your body. There are some instances where you are as careful as humans can be, mm-hmm. and it seems like this is one where they dropped the ball.
Or not, yeah. In this particular case,
and I felt so bad for Warren Beatty because it was 100% not his fault.
Oh, I hated
him. See him.
I hated him immediately.
But
I was
why?
Because don't be
because you thought it was his fault.
No. I thought when he was announcing it, he wouldn't say it. And
right.
I said, don't be that
right.
guy.
Stop just being coy. Just, yeah.
Yeah, and then he
exactly.
handed her the thing to read.
But it's because he read it and was like, oh, that doesn't seem right at
I
all.
I didn't realize that. I just thought he was being funny. And then later I was like, oh, my
or
bad.
Being old, which I'm sure a lot of people thought as he was just confused. You know, he's 80 or whatever he is, and he's out there with all the lights and all the confusion. And a lot of people probably thought he just screwed up. But it wasn't his fault at all.
Yeah.
Did he throw Faye under the bus by making her read it?
I mean, he did just kind of go, I'm not doing it. Here, you read it. But at that point, you put your trust in whoever handed you that envelope.
Yeah, I don't blame either of them.
Absolutely not.
And then, by the way, the producer, what was his name? Jordan
Horowitz,
something
for, I think.
Horowitz sounds right. Yeah, from Moonlight. God bless him for taking charge of that situation and making it clear what was going on, first of all. That must have been an extremely difficult thing for him to have to do. Take an Oscar away from me to give it to somebody else. So congratulations to him. He handled it beautifully. And poor Jimmy Kimmel, who was right in the middle of
it. Oh, man.
Trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out what to do and what to say.
He was like everybody else. Our heads were spinning.
Right.
I have no idea what's going on right now, except for he's the guy on stage.
But how great when he said, I knew I'd ruin this. It was perfection.
That was very funny, but he had nothing to do with ruining
nothing.
It. So.
Not at all.
No.
That was crazy.
And by the way, Kevin, I know we're going to play some highlights later, and I know we're going to be talking about it all day, but was Jimmy Kimmel an A or was it an A+? I mean, those are the only two options, right?
I loved him.
He was phenomenal. One of the best in decades.
Yeah.
He really
sure.
was. I mean, that was a nearly perfect Oscar hosting job. And that's one of the toughest, most thankless jobs in show business. And look at the long list of people who have done that. And Jimmy was every bit as good or better than any of them.
When he came out and sang Can't Stop the Feeling, I was like, wow.
I mean, I felt it to my core.
Really turning
it
on.
I'm not sure, Kevin.
Woo,
I think that,
give it
I
it
think,
his all. He was
right,
dancing.
But I think that was Justin Timberlake. I think Justin Timberlake actually opened the show. And then Jimmy was the guy in the tux who came on after Timberlake.
Agree to disagree.
I'm with Kevin.
I'm sorry. Let's talk about today's Kevin Amito, shall we?
You guys don't care, do you? See? They don't care.
Like being mentioned, the Hollywood Reporter's Matt Bellany will be in studio with us to go over the Oscars. We also have some highlights of the Oscars. We're going to talk to Harvey Levin from TMZ like we do on Mondays.
He's going to be in mourning today, you know.
Why?
Because of the tourist bus last night?
Because his friend Judge Wapner passed away.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Oh, because of the bus. That's excellent. Because it wasn't a TMZ bus?
I didn't know. I didn't know what B was referring to.
I like that so much.
We also have tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Staples Center. And then when you win those tickets, you qualify to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio.
Oh.
Nice.
So that's pretty cool. That's K-Rock Wheels
that's
Up
in Portugal, right?
2017, destination number 5. For those of you that think Bean just made a mistake, he's mocking me. And LaQuisha's back.
What?
LaQuisha?
Are you kidding me?
Yay!
Taking a look at Mama June from not to hot.
Nope. How many
hot,
years
not
has
included.
It been since we talked to LaQuisha?
It's been forever.
I can't wait.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, the LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
The bad news is it is early on a Monday morning. The good news is Ralph Garman is here. He's going to make it all better. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Turns out, by the way, that Bean was right on with his explanation of what happened last night at the Academy Awards.
Oh, okay.
There are indeed two copies of each award in terms of the presentation cards that are brought to the ceremony. And, in fact, Warren Beatty was given the Best Actress envelope, the copy, instead of the correct one for Best Picture. So that's what led to the chaos.
So a lot of people were trying to blame Leonardo DiCaprio for leaving that envelope behind or somehow.
No, she had it in her hand when she was in the press room. She said she was looking down at it, as it all unfolded. So they have to have two copies, as being mentioned, because people enter from both sides of the stage. Plus, I imagine if you lose one,
yeah,
and they're the only people who know the winners, are the accountants, so they have to have a backup. But how the transfer got screwed up, that still is yet to be.
Then I'm surprised discovered. It's never happened before.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's the truth.
Yeah.
In 80 years or so of a live event like that,
For sure.
Apparently, it happened once before, I believe.
Yes, Sammy Davis Jr., 1964.
There you go.
What just happened?
Thank you, Ray.
Sammy Davis Jr., 1964.
Definitely Sammy Davis Jr.
That was relevant to Ralph's remark.
Uh-oh. Definitely 5 minutes to Wapner.
But that was like, that was an original score Oscar. It just didn't have the, you know, the gravitas that the best picture at the end of the show had.
Well, turns out no one was shot on stage. So
right.
Everyone can relax.
Yeah, it was just a paperwork mix-up. Everybody's fine.
Yeah. Here are your winners for last night's Academy Awards, if you didn't catch them. Here are the big awards. Best Original Screenplay went to Kenneth Lonergan for Manchester by the Sea. Adapted Screenplay went to Moonlight, which is based on a play. Best Director was Damien Chazelle for La La Land.
I think it's just
Meryl
La
Streep called it.
Is that what she called it?
Yes, that was odd.
By the way, again, he's 32 years old, this Damien Chazelle. That's what he did with his night last night, was win the Best Director Oscar.
Best Actor in a Leading Role, Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. Best Actress, Emma Stone for La La Land. Best Supporting Actress in a Supporting Role, Viola Davis for Fences. Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight. And then, of course, Best Motion Picture went to Moonlight. But was Denzel Washington crying because he lost? He seemed really unhappy both before and after that Best Actor Award was announced.
Yeah. The whole night he seemed.
The whole night he seemed chap-ass.
Even when the tourists came in and he was like, I don't pronounce your man, always kiss him. But he had no time for anybody.
No.
He seems like he's in a terrible mood.
But he doesn't ever not seem like he's in a terrible mood.
I agree.
I don't think I've ever seen him be jolly.
Is it just one of those people whose unfortunate resting face is unhappy?
No, I think his resting disposition is unhappy.
Oh, do you? Okay.
I get the sense that he's genuine in his anger.
This was his eighth Oscar nomination. I wonder if he's just bored of the whole thing, too.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm
you
sure.
You don't have to go.
You don't have to go. That's true.
And I'm sure there are other people there who were bored, but you smile.
Yeah. Right.
You smile
like you mean it.
Oh, Lord, you did. That was the last song we played, everybody, right here on K-Rock.
File.
L.A. knows he's alternative rock. You mentioned the bringing the folks in from the tour.
Yes.
To walk through the auditorium. Inspired.
I thought that was great, too. Best thing I've seen in so long.
What a great moment.
Yeah.
Just a top-notch job by
And
Jimmy
that only
Kimmel
works if you're as great an improviser as Jimmy Kimmel is.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Because you have no idea what you're going to get from those
dropping
people.
The snacks from the ceiling. I mean, every bit they did was just spot on. I've rarely seen. I mean, obviously, I'm biased, and we're biased because we know the guy and we're friends. But I've rarely seen a better job. But maybe Billy Crystal back in his heyday.
Yeah.
But every bit they did, every thing, every time he got on stage, he was a welcome.
Yep.
Sight versus most hosts, you're like, oh, can you please just get on to the next thing?
But the Damon stuff was so great.
Yeah.
It was so great. The Lion King stuff with the kid from the Lion movie was so great. The tweeting the president was so funny.
All good
just
stuff.
Just one hit after another.
Let's talk about the movies from the weekend. Jordan Peele's horror film, Get Out, was the smash hit of the weekend.
Debuting
with $30.5 million over the weekend, making it number one. The Lego Batman movie was number two. John Wick, Chapter 2, was third. Great Wall, 50 Shades Darker, was number five. Speaking of Great Wall, that was a great shot. He took it, Damon, who didn't take the lead role in Manchester by the Sea, instead doing a Chinese ponytail movie. Nice move, dumbass. Yeah. Fist Fight was sixth, Hidden Figures was seventh, La La Land, Split Lion, and Rock Dog. Rock Dog! Rock Dog!
Rock Dog. I thought you had made that up on Friday.
Come
the
on,
whole thing was a hoax. That's a real movie?
It's about a Tibetan dog becomes a rock star.
Okay.
Rock Dog. Only made $3.5 million in its debut, but it's going to catch on. It's going to swell with support, and then
not based on that description.
Everyone's going Rock Dog. Read my lips, Rock Dog.
Not my favorite, but I'll allow it.
Yeah. Sad news. This weekend, they didn't have a chance to put him into the montage of the In Memoriam moment during the Oscars, but Bill Paxton was mentioned at the outset. Passed away due to complications following heart surgery over the weekend. Great actor. Aliens, Terminator, True Lies, Titanic, Big Love, of course, his series on HBO. He was so terrific in that. He was just 61 years old. So a lot of people
over the weekend
talk about
sad.
Bill Paxton. And speaking of Rain Man up there, Joseph Wapner, Judge Wapner from the People's Court, also passed away this weekend. The age of 97. He was the OG TV judge, the one who set the pace for the rest of them, and he was there with his beloved Rusty the Bailiff by his side, I heard. I'm kidding. Jeez, you people are weird. Why would Rusty the Bailiff be in his hospital bed?
That would be odd.
It would be odd. The orderlies are now entering the room. They're about to change Judge Wapner's bedpan. Doug Llewellyn was in the hallway outside interviewing the nurses. And they came in. How did you feel about that BM? Was it solid?
Oh.
Ralph.
I'm just saying.
What just happened?
Doing a little People's Court comedy. Today's celebrity birthdays. Josh Groban. The Grobes. Groby.
Do we call him the Grobes?
Sure.
Okay.
He's 36 years old today. Actress Kate Mara is 34. Chili. Rosanda Thomas from TLC.
Oh.
She's 46 years old today.
Bell, no bell for Chili.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
And James Worthy of your Los Angeles Lakers. He is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do I have a technical snafu here, or is Mr. Levin not on the phone? Is he on the phone?
He's on the phone.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Monday mornings mean we talk to our friend Harvey Levin in the newsroom at TMZ.com with so much great stuff on the site today, including Oscar. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. Good morning. Wow.
Wow, right? Right?
Wow. That is
right?
Great. So here's what I know. I just
okay.
5 minutes ago got off the phone with a woman who has done envelopes for award ceremonies for 30 years. And here's what happened. There are duplicates of every award because what happens is sometimes the presenters walk on from stage left and sometimes they walk on from stage right when they mm-hmm. walk to the microphone. So they have one set on stage left, one set on stage right, depending, and sometimes the presenters screw up, so they may be at the wrong place, and that's why they have duplicates.
That makes sense.
Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway, they clearly got, somebody made a massive screw-up, and they gave them the envelope from before, the one obviously with Best Actress.
But at least it was only for the biggest award, Best Picture.
You know, but we just got in an argument in the newsroom. Evan was saying, he's an 80-year-old man. I got to say, I thought Warren Beatty... He knew something was up.
Absolutely. He looked at it three times, even checked the envelope to see if there was something else in it. He knew.
And you got to think at a point, how could this be a screw-up on their part? Maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
That's why I think he handed it to Faye Dunaway to say, hey, something's wrong here, but instead she just looked at it and read it.
Right.
You know, I think he was handing it to her so she could kind of evaluate it, too. He didn't realize she was just going to blurt it out. But it was clear he knew something was wrong. And I get it. It's like, how do you stop the award ceremony and say, something's wrong here, guys?
By the way, Harvey, it might not be wrong. Like, he's just confused. Mm-hmm. So
I would be confused. I mean, I don't know about you guys. If I'm walking out, I'm assuming that they got the drill right, and maybe I'm doing something wrong.
Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
Yes. But here's what I'm looking forward to, Harvey, and I'm sure that we'll get a minute-by-minute breakdown of how everything went down on stage and backstage. But 2.5 minutes it took before somebody was up on the microphone saying, no, we got it wrong. It's Moonlight.
Well, but you know what? You got to realize that, and one of the things I'm trying to figure out is who figured it out, because Warren Beatty clearly knew. So I wonder if he said something, but clearly somebody from Price Waterhouse knew. But the thing is,
that's what I think happened. I think the person who the other person of Price Waterhouse, you mentioned one on each side of the stage. They both know who all the winners are, and they have them memorized, okay? So the other person said, hey, wait a minute, they just read the wrong name, so she probably told – he or she probably told one of the producers from the TV show, hey, get this information out onto the stage so we can broadcast
it. But then you got – but here's the thing. Price Waterhouse is not going to go out and stop the show. So they got to go find the producer,
right.
And then the producer's got to figure out what's up.
And then a guy with a headset goes out and starts taking Oscars away.
I get why it took a little bit of time, but, I mean, what a fantastic mess.
It really was. And ultimately, it's good for the Oscars, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it really is.
I never understood the Steve Harvey thing. That there was no shame in that. I thought it was. I thought that was awesome, and it makes me want to watch that show, even if I'm not crazy about watching the show.
But it's not going to happen again.
Well, it happened this time.
It is weird, Harvey, that we live. Look, I know there are a lot of people who think the universe works in mysterious ways, but think about how the Super Bowl ended. Think about how the World Series ended.
Ooh,
think about how
point.
The presidential election ended. I mean, we're living in an upside down world right now.
That's a really good point.
I mean,
that's a really good point.
It's just been so bizarre the last few months. It's just been everything, like all of our expectations are being shattered at the end. It's just weird.
Well, here's the good news.
Yes.
Moonlight should have won.
Amen.
A lot of people were very happy with that when it was finally revealed.
The correct
yes.
winner won, for sure. The bummer is, I felt very sad for the people from La La Land. What a bummer.
If you're Moonlight, how do you go out there and get really excited?
Well, that's the thing. I felt worse for them because they didn't have that authentic joy, that moment of, oh, my God, everything we did just came to fruition. They didn't get that.
Not only
that's lost. Right.
They lost, and it was sinking in for 2.5 minutes that they lost.
Right.
And then they didn't get that minute.
What a cluster.
Oh, it was good times.
It was so good.
I mean, can you imagine what the boom in psychologists this week?
Yeah. Well, I also thought about this. Thank God that if it did happen, it happened in something like that Best Picture, where it's all of them on stage versus Best Actor, because think of the ego of that solo person up there just crushed,
just doing the walk of shame off stage.
So sad.
And it's not their fault.
Yeah.
Hey, Harvey.
Yeah,
I mean, it's you know what? I think you're right, but then I'm thinking, God, if you've got all of them on stage and there's this kind of kumbaya moment that's just grabbed away from you, that's pretty awful too.
Oh, yeah.
If you can find a shot of Ryan Gosling laughing into his hands because he realizes what's happening, it's the best thing I've ever seen.
Harvey, I want to ask you real quick before we let you go. We worry that we're too close to him and too good of friends to objectively review Jimmy Kimmel's performance as an Oscar host, but we all think he was one of the greatest Oscar hosts in history.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, good. You saw it too.
He was, because he was funny, and it wasn't forced, and he was amazing. He was the best thing about the Oscars. He was incredible.
Second best
after Gary from Chicago. Come on. He was the best.
How sad were you that was not a TMZ tour bus that they brought to the place last night?
Okay, I don't harbor it. I was so pissed off.
TMZ airs on Fox Channel 11 throughout the day. TMZ Live at 4 p.m. TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Harvey, great chat with you. We'll do it again next week. Thank you, sir.
See you guys.
Justin out. K-Rock Wheels Up 2017 Destination Revived, the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. How do they do it? How do they keep coming up with these shows in these cities?
I think it's fake. I don't think we're sending them anywhere. They just end up at LAX and they just wander around.
Oh,
give
no.
you a chance to win some tickets to see the Chili Peppers at Staples Center, then qualify for the grand prize to see them in Rio de Janeiro. Details and your chance to win coming up on K-Rock. First, though, Oscar time.
Highlights of the Oscars. Jimmy Kimmel, of course, was the host. A great friend of ours, so we always question our own judgment when it comes to it. But to me, he was genius.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
And he came out and he started with, I guess people were giving him some advice on how to handle it.
The country is divided right now. I've been getting a lot of advice. People have been telling me it's time to bring everyone together. You need to say something to unite us. And let's just get something straight off the top. I can't do that. That's not... There's only one Braveheart in this room, and he's not going to unite us either. Okay? No, you look great. I think the Scientology is working. I really do.
he's talking straight at Mel Gibson.
He's ruining Mel Gibson, and I am here for it.
I'm not the man to unite this country, but it can be done. We, you know, if every person watching this show, I don't want to get too serious, but there are millions and millions of people watching right now, and if every one of you took a minute to reach out to one person you disagree with, someone you like, and have a positive, considerate conversation, not as liberals or conservatives, as Americans, if we would all do that, we could make America great again. We really could. Now, that would start with us.
Well, that was interesting to me because that wasn't a joke.
Mm-mm. Right.
That was him actually taking a 30 seconds for a serious, serious message.
But it was the setup for a joke.
And tonight, in the spirit of healing and bringing people together, I would like to bury the hatchet with someone I've had issues with.
The show Matt Damon.
Or what? Matt Damon. Now, Matt, I've known Matt for a long time now. You know, when I've known Matt so long. When I first met Matt, I was the fat one. True. And we've had problems. He's a selfish person. Those of you who've worked with him know this. But Matt did something very unselfish, and I want to commend him for it. For real. Matt, as you probably know, could have starred in Manchester by the Sea. He was the producer. It's nominated for 6 Oscars, including lead actor. And he could have taken that lead actor part for himself, but he didn't. He gave that role to Casey Affleck, his childhood friend. He handed what turned out to be an Oscar-caliber role over to his friend and made a Chinese ponytail movie instead. And that movie, The Great Wall, went on to lose $80 million. Smooth move, dumbass.
And by the way, and Jimmy has mentioned this in interviews leading up to hosting the Academy Awards, most Americans don't watch his TV show, have no idea what the feud is between him and Matt Damon.
Oh,
and
that's true,
It must have been very confusing for so many people to think, why is the host making fun of Matt Damon?
I actually tweeted last night, it was the number one search on Google, why does Jimmy Kimmel hate Matt Damon?
Is that right?
Yep, amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah, this has been going on for years between the two of them, and they're both in on it. It's very funny. Jimmy doesn't think the president.
See, it's so easy to reach out and heal. And I want to say, maybe this is not a popular thing to say, but I want to say thank you to President Trump. I mean, remember last year when it seemed like the Oscars were racist? That's gone. Thanks to him.
That's funny. I love that so much. And then he talked about Meryl Streep, who, of course, Donald Trump said was overrated.
We are here tonight to honor great actors, but we're also here to honor the actors who seem great, but actually really aren't. And of all the great actors here in Hollywood, one in particular has stood the test of time for her many uninspiring and overrated performances.
They show Meryl Streep. She's hiding.
May I say, from her mediocre early work in The Deer Hunter and Out of Africa to her underwhelming performances in Kramer versus Kramer and Sophie's Choice, Meryl Streep has phoned it in for more than 50 films over the course of her lackluster career. This is Meryl's 20th Oscar nomination. Even more, made even more amazing considering the fact that she wasn't even in a movie this year. We just wrote her name down out of habit. Meryl, stand up if you would. Everybody, please join me in giving Meryl Streep a totally undeserved round of applause, will you?
It makes her so uncomfortable to get that kind of praise. And then this, we'll talk again next hour about the Best Picture, but then the Star Tours bit. This is one of those things where you go, okay, this is risky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a huge gamble that he's taking. He takes a Star Tours bus and he tells everybody that they're going to go see some dresses or something from the Academy Awards and walks them right into the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And they're right across the front and they're looking at these A-list celebrities. And it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life.
Brilliant. It truly was.
This is Ryan Gosling. He's very handsome. Don't look into his eyes. Quite a few stars. Here's this Emma Stone and her brother, Spencer. Emma brought her brother.
Now, this is a guy named Gary from Chicago, and he's a black guy. And Jimmy notices
that Allie wants to marry.
I love Gary from Chicago.
And Jimmy notices that he's not paying any attention to the white celebrities.
I feel like you're ignoring the white celebrities.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Gary, is this your wife over here? What's your name?
Vicky Mines.
Hi, Vicky. Are you here with Gary?
That's my fiance.
Well, oh, really? When are you getting married?
July 18th.
Who's your favorite actor?
That man right there.
Denzel? Denzel, would you be the best man at their wedding?
I now pronounce you husband and wife. Kiss the bride.
He's Denzel, so it's legal.
I thought that was great.
It was great. So good.
And like we said earlier, it takes balls of steel to have several unscripted minutes at something like the Academy Awards. And you have to be such a great think-on-your-feet guy mm-hmm. to be able to pull something like that off. But there's almost nothing you can throw at Jimmy that he doesn't have a way to work with and make funny.
And the final clip that I have is Matt Damon comes out on stage. And every time he starts to talk, he notices that the orchestra is playing. And then we find out later that Jimmy is actually conducting the orchestra.
And how he was introduced.
He was introduced.
Ben Affleck and Guest.
And Guest.
Yeah. The great Alfred Hitchcock was once asked, what are the key elements of making a memorable movie? He said, to make a great film, you need three things. The script, and the script.
These are presenters. This is not...
You don't play off the presenters.
Off. This is not an acceptance speech where they always play them off.
This year's screenplays proved him right through their creative storytelling and inspirational themes.
The nominees include a story of two brothers. I am my God. You gotta be kidding me. Wait, hold on. Wait. Come on, what is with the music? Am I being played off? Seriously?
Jimmy's down there and he's conducting the orchestra.
You can't play me. I'm just presenting. You can't play me off. Why are you playing off?
Wrap it up. We want to go home. That was a short 3.5 hours before the end of the show. So anyway, those are some of the highlights of the Oscars. And again, we'll talk about the Best Picture with Matt Bellamy from The Hollywood Reporter coming up next hour. You know who's back today? LaQuisha. LaQuisha's back today.
That's cute. Unbelievable.
How about that?
I'll believe when I see it.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's K-Rock at 6:54.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning. What's going on, sir?
The ratings are in from last night's Oscars.
Oh, good.
And no surprise... Another dip in viewership for the Oscars.
Oh.
Yeah. Big drop in audience. Let me see. The last time they were this low is when Jon Stewart hosted back in 2008. And last night's rating was just up from over the previous low water mark of 2008's show. So 23.4 household rating is what they're saying. And, look, it's not a big surprise. You know, as you mentioned, most people haven't seen Jimmy's show. You got 6-7 late-night talk show hosts competing now. It used to be when Carson hosted or something like that, everybody in the world knew not only who the host was, but everybody had seen every film that was nominated.
Yeah,
it's a very fragmented television and film market now where people have less of a vested interest because they really haven't seen the films.
Very much so.
So.
And I also wonder, Ralph, and I haven't read anything to suggest this is true, but this was crossing my mind last night. Is there a segment of the population who are Donald Trump supporters who think, I'm not going to give my time to a show where they're probably going to be blasting my president all night long, and I just don't want to, I don't even want to spend time doing that?
Mike Huckabee? You think Mike Huckabee's, a lot of Mike Huckabee's out there? That's what he tweeted last night. He said, watch celebrities spew venom against my president. I'm not going to watch. I'd rather have a colonoscopy. To my friend KP, he responded, actually, it wasn't all that political, but I hope your a-hole's okay.
But do you think there might be people like that who just don't even want to?
100%.
Don't want the noise.
Of course.
Where the Oscar was playing big, of course, was unsurprisingly in the big metropolitan areas. New York. It was the most watched show in New York with a 31.1 rating. Then second, San Diego. Third was Los Angeles. You'd think it'd be a bigger draw.
Yeah.
Here at home, Chicago and San Francisco were the places where a lot of people were watching. So that bears out your theory there, Bean. Speaking of movies, over the weekend, Jordan Peele had a good weekend. Get Out, his film. Made $30.5 million, made it number one at the box office.
Kevin, you were raving about that on the social media.
So great.
Like,
so
way better great. Even than you expected.
Yes.
Everyone is talking about how excellent it is. The Lego Batman movie was number two. John Wick, Chapter 2, The Gray Wall, and 50 Shades Darker. Excuse me. Fist Fight was sixth. Hidden Figures, La La Land, Split, Lion. Those are your top 10 films. And Rock Dog just outside the top 10 at number 11. Just outside. While the Oscars were given out, of course, for the best in motion picture achievement, let's not neglect the Razzies were given out this weekend as well. Given to the worst in movies. Worst picture went to Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party from Dinesh D'Souza. He also picked up the award for worst actor playing himself in that same film. Becky Turner as Hillary Clinton picked up worst actress for that same film. Kristen Wiig's work in Zoolander 2 got her the Worst Supporting Actress Award. Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor picked up Worst Supporting Actor in Batman v Superman. Worst on-screen combo was Ben Affleck and Henry Cavill for that same film. And Worst Screenplay also went to Batman v Superman for Dawn of Justice. Martha! Why did you say that? Martha! No surprise there. And television news. No, I'm sorry, I'm going to say that for later. I mean, real quickly. Katherine Heigl's TV series, Doubt, has been pulled after 2 episodes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that might be a record.
This was a success.
It was not a success.
I watched the first 12 minutes of that. And then I was like, all right.
Well, now you know.
Peace out.
Mm. Yeah.
If a show is too bad for Kevin to stay.
Right?
Right.
So, well, we won't be seeing any more then. And my favorite story of the week. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but the witches are getting together.
The witches.
The witches are getting together, and they're going to be casting a spell against Donald Trump.
The witches. Is this just a big general group?
Yes.
Okay.
Witches are going to be out there casting massive spells against President Donald Trump. They did it this past Friday at the witching hour of midnight. February 24th, March 26th, April 24th, and May 23rd are the planned dates for the massive spell casting by the witches. You know who's joining in? Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey has also added her massive spell casting witch ability to the cause. She sent out a tweet listing not only the times for when the spells will be cast, but ingredients can be found online.
Regarding
what you need for your spell.
Do we know why it takes 4 applications? You can't just make one spell that's powerful enough to accomplish the job?
Listen, dumbass.
We can't
explain
everything.
You don't know anything about witches and magic?
Right.
Okay.
Can't explain everything to you, for God's sake.
Those
Sorry.
Dates and times are the next dates and times of the crescent moons when a magic spell is most effective, Bean. How can you be so dumb?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that.
Of course, everyone knows that. Now, witches don't do any harm, of course. This spell is to prevent Trump from doing more bad things. They're going to bind him with their spell.
Oh.
Now, the best news is that there's a bunch of Christians now in the country who are getting together at the same time and dates, and they're going to pray against the spell. To keep the spell from binding Trump, they're going to make a massive prayer that will block the witch spell.
Now, is this a numbers thing where whoever has more numbers wins?
I think whoever prays harder. Or spells harder.
This is going to be awesome. This is going to be like Star Wars fans battling Star Trek fans with fictional phasers versus lightsabers. It's a lot of nothing going on those dates and times. A lot of people concentrating for very little effect. But I'm glad people are finally doing something to actually matter in the political system.
Sure. It's about time people got involved.
Praying and casting spells. That'll fix it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Katie Mara is 34 years old today. Josh Groban turns 36. And Rosanda Chili Thomas, 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We've done this before, haven't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, we have.
We're back.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:06.
Our friend Matt Bellamy from The Hollywood Reporter is going to be joining us in studio in minutes to talk about the Academy Awards last night, being there in the room, and also the parties afterward. And I can't wait because I love Matt. Also, this hour, we'll do the grand prize drawing and send someone. Allie, you ready? You ready? Send someone to Glasgow, Scotland.
Lucky.
One of your favorite places to see AFI. We got that grand prize drawing in minutes coming up on K-Rock. All right. What are we doing with Muggs here?
Muggs has been gambling on sports.
What? That's not me.
Gambling and losing.
Bigly.
On sports.
Recently. We got an update from Muggs a couple of weeks ago where he, look,
He's a new father. He's got a new marriage.
Right.
And he's just trying to provide for his family. Just trying to get out there and just make things better for his family. Right.
Right.
Very expensive to raise a child in 2017.
Sure.
So rather than get a job,
rather than working,
Muggs has decided, because Muggs is Muggs, hey, there must be a shortcut way that I can do very little work and get paid handsomely for it.
So midweek last week, Bean, we had a conversation with Muggs where we were talking about how much in the hole he was and what his plan was. And his plan was to bet three games, two hockey games and a college basketball game.
Make it a parlay, okay, because that's big odds, big winnings.
It was really 2-1, but, I mean, it would have been good. But then he said, if I lose that, I'm done.
Right.
Right. I'm serious this time. Mm-hmm. I'm done. And he lost it. And then he texted me, seriously, I'm done.
Okay. Right.
So what happened over the weekend, Muggs?
Well, you know, Mama Muggs didn't raise a quitter. You know what I'm saying? So, I decided to play a couple things this weekend, and I won. I got back a little bit. I knocked a good amount of my debt to...
A good amount.
Enough.
But weren't you thousands of dollars in the hole, no joke?
Thousands. Give or take, you know?
Thousands.
How much did you win this weekend?
I got back about $600.
Wow.
So
that's a dent.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Nice little chunk out of...
Now, the weird thing that the conversation that we had in the office was, we said, what about the guy that you're betting with?
The bookie, yeah.
He gives me nothing but time.
Yeah, where do you come up with the money?
He lets me make payments. It's not an
issue. He's a great guy. Great guy, Vinny is. And, he does give me time, and he's very generous when it comes to payments. And I've already worked something out with him that, guarantees him his money down the line.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you should say that, because he got in touch with us and asked if he could come on the air today. And I think Vinny Knuckles is on the phone right now, Muggs.
Hey. Time's up.
Oh, no.
What do you mean you got time? You got your payment plan. What am I, JCPenney?
No, but we worked something out, Vinny, that,
we worked this out. You lose, you pay me.
Right. No, I'm going to pay you.
Yeah, I know you're going to pay me. Hold on a second. I got a guy who didn't pay me.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I was a little busy with work.
Muggs told us that you were very understanding and very patient.
Yes, I understand that he's an idiot.
Okay.
And for that reason, I was willing to take his money.
Mm-hmm.
But enough's enough. We got like $4,000 now he owes me. What am I, a charity?
Yeah.
Listen. Yeah. Hey, dumbass. Listen, I want my money, or else you know what I'm going to do. You know the little hair you have left? I'm going to rip it out of your head.
Oh, come on. Don't do that.
Cover your head with duct tape and just rip it all out. For starters, okay?
Well, I did get back a little bit this weekend, Vin, and so, I mean, I think I could do more of that.
Do you think that? Have you looked at your account lately?
I noticed that you shut it down.
Yeah, you're frozen. Your account is frozen.
Your account is frozen?
Yeah, this morning, frozen. All zeros. I can't bet anything. I can't win anything. I can't do anything.
So now you have to come up with the money another way, it sounds like.
Well, right. But I was saying, I got back a little this weekend, Vinny. So if you just, give me a couple hundred to put on some good parlays today, I could chop even more of that debt down.
Speaking of chopping.
Oh, no.
One of our very favorite Academy Awards traditions is the day after, when we welcome our good friend Matt Bellany to the studios of The Kevin and Bean Show. He is the executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter. That means he is a big deal, you guys. Welcome, Matt. How are you, sir?
Thank you. Good morning.
And we're always amazed that you're here and you're alert and you're awake and you look showered and
barely,
you're fresh,
barely.
And clean.
Well, normally the biggest news we talk about is, who was drunk at the parties and who fell down and things like that. This year we actually have a real news story that unfolded at the show.
No kidding. All right. So by the way, we haven't mentioned this yet, Kevin, but I keep thinking about the people who looked at the clock and said, oh, man, it's late and the show's been going on for almost 4 hours. I'm just going to wait till they announce Best Picture and then I'm going to turn it off and go to bed. What about those people?
Yeah, because they made a mistake and they said La La Land won and they gave 2.5 minutes of a speech.
That was the amazing part. It's one thing for them to make a mistake on the Oscars. It's another for them to make a mistake on Best Picture.
Sure.
But the fact that two guys and then a third were allowed to go up there and start giving their speeches before the Oscars were literally ripped from their hands and given to the other movie.
I started walking away, and my wife said, why is a guy in a headset taking away their Oscars? Apparently, he was behind the people speaking,
yeah,
taking the Oscars back.
It was so surreal sitting there in the crowd because no one knew what was going on. I don't know how it played out live. I've watched the video, but when you're there, like, it's just such a commotion on stage after Best Picture is won anyways. So everyone thought that he was just being gracious, and he was saying, oh, this is for Moonlight. You guys also won. You should have won.
Because this happens a lot.
Right.
Like Adele did with her Grammy.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah. Adele did it. So then, after that, when the guy's like, no, you won, then everyone thought it was a Kimmel prank.
Yeah. Right.
Because,
which I'm sure he loves.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say Kimmel handled the whole thing really well.
I agree.
Like, that is an impossible situation. Kimmel handled it well. That La La Land producer, Jordan Horowitz, handled it really well.
Very well. Because that must have been the hardest thing, the hardest words that have ever come out of his mouth were stripping his own Oscar away to give it to somebody else. But he did it like a boss.
Absolutely. And you think about these guys. I mean, they have been campaigning and promoting this movie for 6 months now, you know, since August. They've been out there talking about this movie for this one night, for this one goal, and to have it not only, you know, taken away, but so publicly in front of everyone and given to the movie that they've been a rival with for the entire season, it's insane.
I like to think of it as they got an extra speech.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely the only Oscar, they're definitely the only people at an Oscar is to give an acceptance speech and then award an Oscar.
So, Matt, I don't know how good a view you had of how it was unfolding on stage. As you said, it was a mess, so it was kind of difficult to tell what was happening. But could you see what the chain of information was? Like, did the other PricewaterhouseCooper person realize that a mistake had been made and alert a show producer who then alerted somebody on stage? Or how did it work, you know?
Here's what from the governor's ball afterward, we kind of discerned what happened. And there are two sets of envelopes that they have that the accounting firm Pricewaterhouse has, and they're on opposite sides of the stage, and it's designed to prevent if someone reads the wrong award. So if they have one envelope and they read it and they read it wrong, someone is on the side and they are looking and saying, okay, no, that matches.
Oh, they're
double-checking.
Oh,
they're double-checking. Somehow, the Best Actress second envelope was put in the hands of Warren Beatty. Don't know how that happened, and that's what Pricewaterhouse issued a statement last night saying, we're investigating, we're going to figure out what happened, they apologize. But somehow the Best Actress Emma Stone card got into the envelope, got into Warren Beatty's hands, it went out
on stage. That confused a lot of people, sorry to interrupt, but that confused a lot of people because Emma Stone had the card with her at the time, so a lot of people thought, oh, wait, how is that possible that Warren Beatty had the same card? You've explained it. There were two cards.
There were two cards, yes. We don't think it was Russia that was intervening. we don't. No, at least not yet.
I thought it was old Warren Beatty at first. I was like, don't give that guy a mic. He can't read.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his fault either.
In Warren Beatty's Warren Beatty's credit, he knew something was up.
For sure.
He was looking around, and he was, you know, kind of like, uh-oh.
And he knew something was up because the card said Best Actress,
yes, it said, Emma Stone, La La Land.
Yeah, you see him open it. You see him look inside the envelope again, like maybe there's a second thing in here. I felt so bad for him.
Right. And then he hands it to Faye Dunaway, basically punting, saying, oh, what's going on here?
What do we
do? Looks. She sees La La Land. She announces La La Land.
I don't blame good policy to throw the woman under the bus if you can.
I don't blame either of them.
Absolutely.
I mean,
You know, you could make the argument that, you know, had they had someone who was not in their late 70s and, you know, maybe if a Seth Rogen or someone was presenting Best Picture, he would have looked at it and said, guys, you know, what the F? Like, there's something wrong here.
Mm-hmm. But they had every reasonable expectation that they were handed the right information.
Exactly. Yeah. You walk out on that stage, you assume you have the right card in your hand.
I mean, it's never happened before,
right? No, it happened once, I believe in the 50s or 60s, Sammy Davis Jr. made the wrong announcement of a minor music category that doesn't even exist anymore. Yeah. So it was not as big a deal and certainly not Best Picture.
I'm surprised, understanding how that process works, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more.
I guess, yeah. You know, but
I mean, they're really on it.
I mean, this falls into the category of you had one job.
Yep.
Like, these guys have one job.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's usually an airtight ship. And somehow the wrong envelope got out there. But then the question becomes, why did it take, you know, 5 to 7 minutes for essentially the show to be stopped, you know, the stop the presses moment.
Yeah, because they were accepting and everybody was thanking their parents and everybody else from La La Land. But is it because Price Waterhouse isn't going to walk up on stage?
Exactly. I think what happened, this is from people we've talked to, and they said that their job is to alert the producers when they realize something was wrong. And if you watch the video, you can tell there's commotion. And we talked to a publicist who was backstage who almost immediately someone said they announced the wrong winner. And once that happens, there must be some kind of like emergency button they push or something that alerted the producer, because you saw in the room, you saw the producer waving his hands. And
is that right?
And the teleprompters went off and everything like that, and they were waving their hands, and then after that second speech, they went on stage and started telling everyone.
They were waving their hands. What did they expect La La Land to think?
I don't know.
The producers are waving them off.
They had to go out there and tell them. And the curious thing is that third producer who started to talk, he knew. He was told, and he talked anyways. And he basically said, you know, even though we didn't win or something like that. So that's a bizarre choice to continue your speech. Well, the other weird thing in this whole thing is that one of the Price Waterhouse accountants actually looks a lot like Matt Damon.
He was like an older, bigger-faced Matt
Damon.
And
that's a famous thing. We've done stories on this guy. He looks like Matt Damon. So can you imagine? They probably thought Matt Damon was coming out to take away their Oscars.
So crazy.
That's the voice of Matt Bellamy, our friend from The Hollywood Reporter, talking about last night's snafu at the end of an otherwise successful Oscar broadcast. I wanted to ask, because both films, La La Land and Moonlight, had big nights at the Academy Awards. They both won Oscars in big categories. But there's still no way after the show La La Land felt good about what came down, right?
Oh, no.
They were bummed.
Yeah, that you don't, you know. The other awards are nice, and Damien Chazelle, the director of La La Land, became the youngest person to ever win Best Director, which is great for him. But, you know, you want the big prize, and La La Land had been heavily favored to win. Most people thought, that's the whole joke of this, is that even if there hadn't have been a snafu, Moonlight winning Best Picture was a big upset and would have been a huge, you know, gasp moment in the theater. But you know, you know, they did win in several categories, and, you know, they Lionsgate, which released La La Land, also won for Hacksaw Ridge in a couple categories. So it was a big night for them. But that big prize is what everyone wants, and they had it ripped from their hands.
Is there a simple answer to why Moonlight won Best Picture, do you think? Because it's not nearly as popular a movie, certainly, as La La Land. And La La Land certainly had a lot of momentum throughout the awards season.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. You started to see some backlash against La La Land. I mean,
it
wasn't as good.
Yeah, there's a lot of sentiment like that, and it got played up so much. Mm-hmm. The Oscar season is all about when you peak, and these voters tend to have a herd mentality. And if you peak too early, they say, it hurts you down the line because people don't vote till the end. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's a backlash that comes up. If everyone is celebrating La La Land and saying it's the greatest, you know, thing since sliced bread, then maybe there's room for another movie to come in. The other thing that we found is that, you know, the Oscars use a preferential voting system where you rank your favorites.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
It's not that you pick one movie. You rank your favorites. And while La La Land got a lot of number ones, we think, Moonlight was always up there. The reaction we saw from voters was, even if they didn't pick it number one, they probably picked it number two. And in a preferential voting system, that can ultimately win the day.
A lot of talk about number one and number two. Saying that.
That's what Matt's famous for. All right. Well, there's an awful lot more to break down. We haven't heard what you thought of the host, Jimmy Kimmel. There were a bunch of other awards that were really interesting, including the guy who just won his first Oscar after 21 times in a row losing it. That's an amazing story. And somebody who was alive in the In Memoriam segment. You don't see that very often as well. We'll talk
amazing.
More with Matt.
They brought someone back to death, back to life.
Chazelle, we're standing on your shoulders. We lost, by the way, but, you know.
So that happened.
Our friend Matt Bellamy, executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, in studio with us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show for his annual Oscar breakdown. He was in the room last night at the parties afterwards. We have been raving all day, Matt, about our friend Jimmy Kimmel. We've come to the conclusion that he's one of the greatest Oscar hosts of all time. You're an impartial observer. Tell me what you think.
I thought he was pretty funny. I thought he was great. Like, welcome presence the whole time. A lot of the bits were great. Everyone loved it. The falling candy from the sky was hilarious, even though I was sort of out of range and couldn't get it. But they then followed up, and the ushers came down and gave us candy during the commercial.
Is that right?
Yes.
Nice. Huh? Kenny's famous for feeding his guests. That's one of the things you can always count on.
Yeah, and the candy was good. Mike and Ike's, Red Vines.
Was there, for your, and I know there's always a lot of talk ahead of every award show in the goddamn liberal bubble that we live in. Was there much talk about whether there was too much Trump on the show last night or not?
You know, everyone knew that he would be the elephant in the room, so to speak, and it didn't take long. I mean, what did it take, like 4 minutes before Kimmel made his first Trump joke?
Right.
So I think that everyone knew it. I mean, there were some overtly political statements that weren't jokes. You know, the Iranian filmmaker who, you know, referred to the travel ban as inhumane, and there were a couple of other things. Just the fact that Meryl Streep got a standing ovation for being Meryl Streep. Mm-hmm. She didn't even do anything. They just said, ladies and gentlemen, Meryl Streep is here, and it was just like a standing ovation. So I think that there was a cathartic moment there where everyone was feeling they were in a room full of very like-minded people, and they just kind of went with it.
Right. I'm surprised the president still hasn't tweeted, to my knowledge.
I know.
Back at Jimmy.
I'm sure it is taking every staffer. They are, like, fighting him. They are holding him down, you know, hiding the phone. I still think he will at some point.
Let me ask you about a couple of the wins. We haven't talked much about speeches at all.
Mm-hmm.
Viola Davis gets up, and boy, there's a lot of love in the room for her. She's a national treasure for sure. So she finally wins an Academy Award. I think this was her third time being nominated. And she gives a great emotional speech like she do, but starts with talking about digging up dead people.
I know.
It was a very bizarre way to start an Oscar speech.
Yeah, I'm no speechwriter, but I got to think that using the word graveyard in the first sentence is probably not the best way to win people over. But, you know,
she made it work.
She totally made it work. It was emotional. I saw some negative reaction on Twitter to her reference about, you know, acting is the only profession where you care about, you know, the way lives are lived or whatever it was. People were pointing out other professions. Yeah, other professions that do that. But you know what? She delivers these speeches in a really amazingly effective way, and she's clearly thought about them. And I thought she was great.
She doesn't – so many people bore you.
Right.
Their speech, they hadn't thought about it too much, or they're overwhelmed by the pressure or something, whatever it is, but she somehow just nails it.
Well, it's like Casey Affleck. He got up there and he's like, I don't really have much to say. I'm like, dude, you've been going to these award shows for 5 months and you usually win. You know, say, have something.
Right.
You know, tell us something. Thank your manager. Do whatever you need to do, but have something.
Maybe he looked at Denzel and was like, oh, man.
Maybe.
This
yeah.
is not going to end well for me.
Yeah. Speaking of Casey Affleck, a lot of people thought that you know, this was going to be one of those instances where the way people felt about somebody personally might impact whether they would cast a vote for him for his work. But obviously Casey overcame that and didn't win the Oscar last night. Were you surprised to see that?
You know, in my Oscar
pool... Wasn't it a Nate Parker situation all over again?
Right. In my Oscar pool, The Office, I voted for Denzel. I thought Denzel would win because he won the SAG Award, which is usually a good predictor of how people will vote. This cloud over Casey Affleck was due to him settling a couple of sexual harassment lawsuits from, I think, about 5 years ago. No admission of wrongdoing or anything like that. But it was something that people talked about throughout the campaign, and there was a question as to whether that would come back to haunt him. I saw some reaction on Twitter that Brie Larson didn't clap when he was named the winner last night, and she was someone that has been outspoken on these.
She gave him the award and hugged him.
I know, but there was I don't know the full story, but I saw she didn't. Oh yeah, she did give him the award.
Yeah, she gave him the award, and that was my initial thought because she was the one when they brought up the domestic abuse or sexual abuse survivors on the last one. She was hugging every single one of them, and that was a big impactful moment. So when she read Casey Affleck's name, I literally thought, "Ooh,
yeah." There's a clip going around where she's not clapping, and other people are. But yeah, that must have been an awkward situation for her.
Interesting. Yeah. I also saw some backlash that I didn't understand, Matt, and maybe you know the where this is coming from, that a lot of people were very disappointed in Zootopia winning the best animated movie. How come?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, really? Zootopia was one of the best reviewed movies of the year. And, you know, the thing that maybe people are upset by is Disney tends to dominate these categories. Mm-hmm. And the way the animation race works is the nominees are selected by a very small animation branch. And yes, the Disney movies are nominated, but also these other smaller movies like Kubo and the Two Strings and My Life is a Zucchini and all these movies that most people have not heard of. The Red Turtle. Like, these are movies that most people don't see. And then they get into the big category, and Disney just dominates.
They always win.
Everybody votes for him.
By the way, Disney does good work with animation, too. It's not like they're just the biggest name in town.
Nobody is begrudging them. They do a great job. And they also won in the shorts category for Piper, which was the short film that appeared before Finding Dory.
It just seemed like several of the news outlets, maybe Slate was one of them and some others, kind of had some pieces kind of ready to go in the event that that happened. And they were comparing it to this year's, you know, Crash, which is a movie that won the Best Picture Oscar. For years afterwards, people are like, well, that was a mistake. You know?
Well, Zootopia definitely appeals to a sort of liberal mindset of a world of tolerance and all these other things that maybe could be considered.
Gross.
I know. Controversial now. That could be considered politically charged. But, and it did, I mean, for a Disney movie, it does have a political message. Mm-hmm. For a
all
Disney
right.
movie.
Let me ask you this. Early ratings are coming in, and the Oscars continue to slide almost every year. I guess this was the – I don't know. What did Ralph say? The second lowest in 10 years or something like that?
I think so, yeah.
Does it matter?
Well, there's two issues there. First of all, these are early numbers. We don't know the actual numbers. The Globe's numbers actually rose when the final numbers came in. But if it is –
what's the delay? Is it the DVR watching?
Nielsen just needs to – canvass the entire country. The metered markets come in first, and then they update
so
it later in the day.
It's a partial list.
But it's usually indicative of where everything's going.
Right.
And if these numbers bear out, it'll be down about 4 or 5%. There's a million reasons why ratings may go down. You know, we are in a fractured TV audience world where people just don't have that connection to the Oscars. You could blame Kimmel. He is on TV every night, so maybe people didn't feel like it was special to see him hosting the Oscars.
Or they don't watch him and don't know who he is.
Yeah, or, you know, we did a poll at the Hollywood Reporter where we polled Clinton and Trump voters, and two-thirds of Trump voters said that they have turned off an award show when mm-hmm. things got political.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, at this point with the Meryl Streep thing at the Globes, you knew it was going to get political. So maybe people just said, I'm not interested.
I think a lot of people said that.
Not to mention.
My parents said that. My dad's like, I don't care what Hollywood thinks.
Right.
All right,
not
Dad.
To mention, maybe a lot of people didn't see the movies.
I was going to say, the other factor is people sometimes believe that the success of the movies will translate to success of this show.
Right.
There are movies that were nominated that did very well. I mean, La La Land is at $350 million worldwide. Hidden Figures did very well. Arrival got to $100 million. You know, Moonlight did not. Moonlight was less than 20. And a lot of these other movies were sort of mid-range movies. Certainly, there was no Best Picture nominee like Doctor Strange or, you know, something that made $1 billion.
Or Deadpool.
He will not let it go.
Seriously. Maybe my favorite movie of the year last year.
It was great. I loved Deadpool.
And by the way, there's one other factor, too, that we're hearing not only from our listeners on social media this morning, but even some of the people who work on the show, which is they're cable cutters. They literally can't watch ABC. They'll watch whatever ends up on Hulu. You know?
Right. Or, you know that the best clips are going to be online.
Yeah, certainly, yeah. All right, we're out of time, Matt. We always love seeing you. What's the coverage in the next couple of days from the Hollywood Reporter?
Well, we've got a full coverage today. Our review of the show's up. We got
THR.com.
THR.com. We've got all the controversies. I imagine we're going to be covering this snafu thing for the next, week, figuring out what happened, and we'll have updates on THR.com.
Fantastic. Matt, great to see you, man. Thanks for coming in.
No problem.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. Congratulations to Jaime or Jamie Alcaraz or Alcads.
Yeah.
Standing O!
Yeah.
From when to bring it home. Not since last night at Best Picture have I heard an announcement of a major award.
Wait,
that was that good.
We don't know his or her first name or last name.
This isn't on Kevin.
I'm just not positive.
Yeah. This isn't on him. It's on whoever screened that and wrote it down.
Thank you, Allie.
It's impossible.
What did he or she win?
Is our grand prize winner for a trip for two to Glasgow, Scotland to see AFI.
Oh.
Round trip airfare from Los Angeles to Glasgow, a minimum 3-night hotel stay, 2 tickets to the AFI show, and $500 spending cash.
And, of course, the qualifying prize was to see AFI today. They're going to be in the building at 5 o'clock this afternoon in the brand-new HD Radio Sound Space here at KROQ. You can watch the webcast at KROQ.com. You can stream it on KROQ HD2, again, starting at 5 o'clock. And don't forget, HD Radio offers better sound quality in more stations and no subscription fees. So we're all going to be enjoying AFI this afternoon. That's going to be fun. By the way, it's a new week. That means a new contest, and this time it's going to be the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro. We'll qualify you for that in about 20 minutes. Or so right here on K-Rock. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
It is a Monday, so we always look at the top 10 movies at the box office. And Get Out was the big winner. Jordan Peele's debut as a writer and director was a smash hit over the weekend. $30.5 million. I think it cost like four to make.
Did it really?
So it's already
amazing.
It's already one of the most profitable films of the year. Everybody's talking about how great it is, so I'll check that out this week.
Kevin was trying to figure out a way it could win an Oscar last night.
Yeah, I didn't know exactly how the process
just came
worked.
Out on Friday, but why not?
No, if it comes out the day of Oscar weekend, it goes. As long as everyone from Star Tours comes by and gets to see it.
I did say Star Tours, didn't I?
R2-D2 and C-3PO over there. Miracle. The Lego Batman movie is number two. John Wick, Chapter 2 was 3, The Great Wall, and 50 Shades Darker were your top 5 films. Fist Fight, Hidden Figures, La La Land, Split, and Lion were the rest of the top 10. Rock Dog, number 11, just outside. It's a mover. It's a grower. It's going to start 11 and just shoot up the charts. You keep an eye out for Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
You heard me. Rock Dog.
Rock Dog.
Katherine Heigl's new drama, Doubt, has been canceled after 2 episodes.
That's about as fast as it gets, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. CBS put it on because the show Code Black that it replaced was not doing well. Code Black's ratings were better than Doubt's were, so they said, well, this is not a good trend. So it's gone. But I feel bad for Dulé Hill. I like him a lot.
I like him, too.
And Laverne Cox was also very talented, but I don't feel bad for Katherine Heigl. Well,
yeah.
I'm surprised everyone would still work with her at this point.
By the way, there's 3 or 4 shows that have gotten the Doubt treatment where they're not canceled. They're just taken off the schedule or new episodes are being suspended from being made. But they don't actually cancel them anymore. What's that about?
What's that about, Ralph?
Is it just saving face for the network?
Yeah.
And the people involved?
And also leaves their options open. Look, they have a lot of sinking ships on most of these networks. Mm-hmm. And if you've got episodes in the can that you still can air, if something else goes south...
You may still need it.
You may need it.
So leave the door open.
There's no
right.
point to make an official announcement unless you're sure it's never going to come back in any form. So they just do it to, you know, for optics. Foo Fighters announced they're going to headline Glastonbury this summer. How about that?
Huge.
Dave Grohl made the announcement Friday during a surprise concert at the Cheese and Grain in Frome, England. They also put it up live on Facebook Live.
I didn't see that.
I was like, just looking at my phone, like, Foo Fighters, live now. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I got a chance to watch them, but congratulations to everyone there at Glastonbury. That's going to be an amazing show, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. And, Kevin, I know how you feel about magic.
Yeah, I hate it.
But I got to tell you, Daryl Easton may be the best magician ever.
But is he still a magician?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God, Ralph.
He made a body appear at the Magic Castle.
Ralph! Don't do this! Asshole.
Oh, he didn't? Yeah, there was a body found in the closet Friday night at the Magic Castle, and that body turned out to be magician Daryl Easton, who L.A. Police Department apparently say committed suicide.
That went south so fast!
Yeah. Fast.
No, you know what? If you're going to kill yourself, do it in your home or whatever, but
it's the biggest
desperate plea for attention is to kill yourself at the Magic Castle and you're a magician. Come on. Come on.
So you're disappointed in the way he did it?
Yes, okay. Frankly.
All right.
Why do you have to ruin everyone else's situation because you want to take your own life? Not that that's ever the answer, but that is that's a hell of a thing to do to the Magic Castle and the people there, I think.
Suicide.
Thank you, Rodney.
BS.
I agree.
I think you're not thinking clearly at the time that you make that decision to end your own life. And you're certainly not thinking about other people at the time. To answer your question as to why somebody would make a bad choice like that.
But that's different from not thinking about other people. You're going out of your way to...
Yeah, it seems like it.
To stick it to people with your death.
And I think
I'm not sure. Look,
bad form.
There's no way to know what was in his head, but I'm not sure he's even thinking about, oh, this is going to be such a burn on the people who find my body, you know?
Well, at least we know about Bean's going to go.
Right.
We're going to find him here in the studio. Nice work. Thanks a lot.
When? Look, suicide is not the answer usually.
And Connie Britton is working again. Last I saw her, she was dead. But now apparently she's back and she's going to be joining the Land of Steady Habits over there on Netflix. The new comedy drama with Ben Mendelsohn, who's terrific, Edie Falco, and Thomas Mann are also going to be starring. So, glad to see Connie Britton.
What's Steady Habits about?
I've never heard about that.
The Land of Steady Habits.
Yes.
It's a story about Ben Mendelsohn's character decides to change his life in his 50s by leaving his wife. And Connie Britton plays a divorcee who develops a connection with him. So,
all right.
It's a little romantic comedy. Connie Britton.
At least she got off that Nashville sinking ship, right?
Boy, she sure did.
Oof.
I don't know what they're going to do over there without her. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Katie Mara is 34 years old today. Josh Groban turns 36. Rosanda Chili Thomas from TLC is 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, that's the way to wake up right there.
Oh, great.
Sure. Rage Against the Machine, LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock at 8:08.
I see who's on the phone, and I'm excited, but I'm nervous about going to her because I feel like she's going to yell at us like it's somehow our fault that she hasn't been on the radio in so long with us.
Well, why don't we try a little more positive approach?
Couldn't be more excited to welcome our old friend, LaQuisha, back to the Kevin and Bean Show. She is on the line right now. Hey, how are you, sweetheart?
Shut up,
Bean. That's how we're going to start? Come on.
Why do you think I'll be mad at you?
Just because, you know how it is when you just, like, you fall out of touch with someone that you're friends with, and then it's a little bit awkward kind of the first time.
You fall out of touch? I stopped calling you.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is I thought maybe there was some...
I don't want to watch any more dumbass white people on reality television shows.
Yeah. I was worried that you were mad, that there was some bad blood, and that, you know, I was just afraid, that's all.
Why you got to be like that? Why you got to make stuff up?
Are you okay? Is everything all right with you?
Yeah, I'm fine. How you feeling?
We're happy to talk to you, LaQuisha.
Thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
Are you making up beefs? Why do you want to have a beef? You want to have one? Come on, bring it on. I'll cut you.
Right? Okay, let's not get into cutting at this point.
It's like Remy Ma all over again.
Yeah, right? Are you still cutting hair, LaQuisha?
Of course I am. Still running the Afro-Man Empire, my hair salon.
Okay.
I got a lot of things to do. I'm busy. I don't have to deal with you.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, the reason we had Dave reach out to you is there was a show that came around that we thought might be perfect for you, and that is Mama June from Not to Hot. It just debuted this past Friday night on WeTV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dave called me up and said, would you watch this? And I said, first of all, I had never watched any of the Honey Boo Boo show before.
Right.
Because I have no interest in those people.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, but now they're going to make Mama June hot. And I said, had they found some sort of gene therapy can fix the chromosomes in her that are broken? She's like a mongoloid or something.
Well, she doesn't give you a lot to work with right at the outset.
Not just fat. She looks like one of them people after a chimpanzee eating somebody's face off, and then they put a new face on, and it's human-esque, but it's not quite realistic.
It's human-adjacent.
It doesn't really work like a human face would work.
Okay,
but
all right.
It's stuck on there good, and it stands, so she's got that going for her.
Okay.
But this reality show only in name only, because there's large sections of this show where Mama June is in a fat suit and prosthetic makeup.
What are you talking about?
You heard me, Kevin.
How is she in a fat suit? She's been fat her whole life.
But I think the premise of this program is that she gets thin.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they had to sit down and do some interviews with her after the fact.
Oh, no. So they had to fake it?
That's the realest thing on this show is her fake ass.
Wow.
But the show, it all starts because, you know, she used to be married to some guy named Sugar Bear.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Should be called No Teeth Bear.
Well.
Because he got no teeth.
Right.
And they have a problem. They're splitting up, even though they have a child. This Honey Boo Boo is the product of their loins.
Ooh.
And they're having a lot of issues, and they are not civil to each other. When Sugar Bear comes to pick up Honey Boo Boo for school, this is the exchange that happens at the door.
Hey, what are you doing?
Hey, how you been?
It's really none of your business.
damn straight.
All right.
How dare you ask me how you been? Don't get all personal up in my grill at this point. Ain't none of your damn business how I been. Well, Sugar Bear has some bad news for old Mama June. Surprises her by breaking this bombshell.
It isn't like I want Sugar back or anything, but I'm not ready to see him with anybody else either.
I mean, you've been married twice, and when I met you, you were married. So what do you think the third time is going to be, your charm?
Sugar Bear's getting married to another woman.
That's unbelievable, LaQuisha.
How does he keep doing that?
More importantly, he was married to someone else when he met and decided to go off with Mama June?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Good
point. What was that woman like? What was that woman he was married to like?
That's a great question.
The product of some circus family? Did she have flippers and some sort of, like, a cannon hanging out of her butt or something? What? How bad could she have been that he looked at Mama June and go, I can't pass that up. I'm going to end my marriage and go chase me after that.
Good point.
Well, this is the straw that broke the camel's back for Mama June. She knows now she wants to get all hot and skinny because she's going to make Sugar Bear regret that he's marrying someone else, because she's going to go to the wedding and look some good. And she decided, while she talks to her family, that some changes might need to be made.
I guess I can stand to lose a few pounds. I've got a few months to work my ass off.
There you go.
I think I can do it. I just don't want to be almost skinny, mini, and all bony.
No.
You don't want to get all bony. Because that could happen. That's a realistic threat.
And she weighs like 350 pounds, right?
Yeah. At her height, she was about 430.
Oh, man.
Right now, she's at a fighting weight of about 350 pounds.
Okay.
But her biggest fear is she don't want to get all bony.
Right.
All skinny mini.
Right.
Even her manager, and by the way, there's a woman on this show.
What?
Her only job is to manage reality TV stars.
Oh, my.
If your job is to manage reality TV stars, you need to take a long, hard look at your life and what you're doing. When your list of clients are Mama June and one of the bartenders from Vanderpump Rules, maybe you need to reevaluate your situation. Anyway, she says this is a great idea for Mama June. She's got big plans.
Like, if you really did do this... Yeah, I mean, like, let me think. I mean, if you, like, really lost a lot of weight, a giant transformation. And actually, if you did that, I mean, God, you could get, like, a lot of endorsement deals.
She sounds like a true professional.
What?
All the endorsement deals, Kevin.
Come on.
You know, for, like, the Sharpay Breeders of America, when she got all that skin hanging off her, she could be a spokesperson. And she also is going on dates now. Mama June's going to find herself a new man. And so she goes on a date with this gentleman at an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Oh, great.
Which really is the perfect place for Mama June, even though she's not eating at this point. And she starts to talk about herself and, you know, really selling herself to this gentleman.
You wouldn't think, I'm only 37, but I have two grandkids.
Two grandkids?
Yes, I have a 22-year-old daughter that's in college. Then I have a 20-year-old daughter. Then I have a 16-year-old daughter that lives at home with me. And I have an 11-year-old, all girls. I'm not looking for someone for my kids to call dad or whatever, but you've got to be able to mesh well because my kids are with me 24 hours a day.
Who can resist?
That does sound attractive.
Jeff is just chomping at the bit being able to go after this girl.
By the way, you guys, Mama June is only 37.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's shocking to me.
Yeah. Right. What's shocking to me is that Jeff did not leave a cartoon hole in the wall next to the table with an outline of his body as he ran away from her as fast as he could. But he did excuse himself to go to the bathroom. And then never came back.
Oh, no.
And the producers of the show chase him down in the parking lot and say, yo, Jeff, where are you going?
Are you leaving?
Yeah.
Why are you leaving?
I mean, it's just not going to work. I mean, there's kids, there's grandkids.
Are you seriously just going to stand her up in the middle of the state?
There's... And what else am I supposed to do?
What are you supposed to do?
Oh, Jeff.
What else are you supposed to do,
Jeff,
really?
Jeff made the right move.
Absolutely he did. For First of all, they met each other one of these swipe apps for dating, you know? So what was he looking at when he swiped right?
That's a great question, LaQuisha.
Was this a picture of her eye? Or was this, no, this my ear? What do you think of my ear? What could she have shown that would force that man to move his finger to the right? Well, Jeff went home, and Mama June decided that she needed to make a major decision about her body. She's going to get a gastric surgery where they turn your stomach into a sleeve. And that's going to help her lose all her weight, and that's the way she's going to go because she doesn't want to diet, she doesn't want to exercise. She thinks this is going to be the fix for her.
I want to be able to be healthy for my children, but I am a little bit nervous because the worst thing that could happen through all this is I could die.
Well... not the worst Quisha. Thing that could happen.
Quisha.
It's not the worst thing, I'm
we
saying.
We don't want her to die, though.
I'm just saying it's not the worst thing. I didn't say want anybody to die. Shut up, Bean.
Right?
I just said there's sometimes there's not worse things than the worst thing. That's all I'm saying.
So is there any chance in a million years, and you're the expert on stupid white people, is there any chance she could end up hot at the end of this show?
I don't know, but I know her children are there to support her.
Oh, that's nice.
Because she's going to have surgery, and so Honey Boo Boo, who used to, remember she was that cute little annoying girl in all them pageants?
Right, she was
doing tiaras and toddlers and what? Well, now she's 11 and morbidly obese, and she has decided she's going to help Mama in her recovery by making her a little comfort item that she can sleep with while she's recovering from her surgery.
I'm making a bacon-scented pillow. What does it look like I'm doing? Mama loves bacon, so the purpose of it is for her to have it and comfort her while she's doing her surgery.
Yeah, that ought to work out real good.
I put bacon on the travel pillow, and she could just go...
Oh, my God.
She is charming.
She's not a nice child, but she does a remarkable imitation of what it sounds like when her mother eats food. That's absolutely spot on. She's like a Frank Caliendo of fat people.
Good pull, LaQuisha.
Amazing to me. Well, I got to tell you, I do not like you people.
All right.
But I am glad to be watching this show.
Yes,
good. Once again, it reminds me how dumb white people are.
And you'll do it next week?
I'll talk to you next week.
That's what I'm talking about. Welcome back, LaQuisha. We missed you. Thank you very much. That's unbelievable that that's real, by the way. Hey, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you guys, play in Staples Center. We want to give away some tickets right now. If you're a Chili Peppers fan and you know their songs, that's all I can say. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You'll win the ticket to see them here in L.A., and you'll qualify to see the band in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Call now. We'll talk to you next on K-Rock. We'll get right back to breaking down the Oscars in just a few minutes from last night. But first, we got to take care of some business here. As we announce K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number 5 is the Red Hot Chili Peppers in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. It's a pretty good deal, you guys. You win tickets to see him at Staples Center, and you qualify for that grand prize drawing. We'll do in a few days or so. I think this game is called Zeus or Ketus. Is that right?
Wow, are you right?
Are you okay? Is that correct? I'm just
yes.
asking. I didn't want to say the wrong thing. I don't have it in front of me. Is it Ketus or Zeus? Is that what it is?
Yes!
Hit it, Steve.
Zeus or Ketus. Ow. Is it Zeus or Ketus? Ow. Come on and give your best guess and win red hot tickets. Ow.
Make sure you keep the funkiness.
Sure. Good advice. Ralph is our host. Callers are on the line. What's the game here, sir?
Well, what I'm going to do is read for you a passage. It'll either be a line from a Dr. Seuss book or a line from a Red Hot Chili Peppers song.
Ah.
So it's Seuss or Ketus.
Seuss or Ketus.
And I think you're going to be surprised how interchangeable they are, really. How the nonsensical lyrics of the Red Hot Chili Peppers could easily be mistaken for the nonsensical rhyming children's fiction of Dr. Seuss.
Okay. All right. I like it. So if you get it right, you go into the drawing and somebody wins at the end of the segment. Who's our first contestant?
First, we have Michael in Thousand Oaks. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, hey, thanks. Michael, you have to tell us, is it Seuss or Ketus? Here is your line. No learning while you're in the line. I'll take you to the broken sign. You see, these lights are blue.
Dr. Seuss?
Sorry, it's Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No learning while you're in the line. Yeah.
Thank
Sorry.
You.
That's Kiedis.
All right, let's go to Dan in Irvine. Hi, Dan.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Dan, here's your line. Is this Kiedis or Seuss? Your Majesty, please, I don't like to complain, but down here below, we are feeling great pain.
I would say that is Dr. Seuss.
You're right.
Nicely done.
Seuss, oh, Kiedis, ow.
From Yertle the Turtle.
Sure. All right, let's go to Rachel in Lomita. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We are good, thank
Hi,
you.
Hi, Rachel. Here's your line. You have to tell us, is this Kiedis or Seuss? Now you bring it up. I'm going to ring it up just to hear you sing it out.
Let's see. I'm going to go with Kiedis.
No, ding.
No, that's it. That's
ding.
Correct.
It is.
That is correct.
That's
correct.
Yes.
That's from Snow.
That's from Snow.
Yeah.
Now you bring it up, I'm going to ring it up.
I got fooled. Sorry.
Well done.
You okay? All right, let's go
He's on the scissor again, I think.
Let's go to Ramon in La Puente. Hi.
Morning.
All right, Ramon, here's your line. I meant no harm. I most truly did not, but I had to grow bigger. So bigger I got.
That is Seuss, Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland.
Well, it's the Lorax. I don't think that
Lorax,
he did
yeah.
Alice
Lorax.
In Wonderland.
Come on now.
Come on now.
Luckily, we didn't ask you for the actual book.
Seuss.
Right, that was Dr. Seuss. Well done.
All right, let's go to Nick. Menno in Montebello.
Menno, the fresh maker. All right, here you go. Here's your line. What a night to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash your light on?
I will go with La La Land. No, I meant Dr. Seuss.
No, I'm sorry. It's a Zephyr song from...
What a night to fly my kite on. Do you want to flash your light on?
Yes, Chili Peppers. Sorry.
If you're just joining us, we're playing for Red Hot Chili Peppers tickets for the Staples Center, and you qualify to see them in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The game is called Seuss or Kiedis.
Seuss or Kiedis. Ow.
But really, they could be either. They're so interchangeable.
They really are. Nick in Los Angeles, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Good, Nick. Here's your line. Is this Seuss or is this Kiedis? Look at me. Look at me. Look at me now. It is fun to have fun, but you have to know how.
I'm going to go Kiedis.
No, I'm sorry. That's the Cat in the Hat. The Cat in the Hat.
It sounds like Give It Away
it
now.
Sure
it
does.
Sure does.
It sure does. All right, we got time for one more, you guys.
Man.
All right, let's go to Travis in La Crescenta. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Travis, here's your line. Is this Seuss or Kiedis? Jump a nun. Jump a jack. Jump for fun. Jump back.
Is that Kiedis?
Yep. Let's get up and jump.
That's Nicely unbelievable, done. Those lyrics, you guys. I feel like Dr. Seuss should sue or something, but Dan figured it out. Rachel did, Ramon, and Travis all in the drawing to win the tickets for the Chili Peppers and be qualified for the great grand prize. Only one, unfortunately, is going to be the winner this time around. Ms. Helen McKay, who is that, please?
The winner is Rachel.
Rachel.
Yay!
Congratulations, Rachel.
Yay! Hard, so this is so awesome.
Congratulations, and thanks for playing the game.
Seuss or Kiedis, ow. Is it Seuss or Kiedis, ow.
I'm a big partier now that I live in New Orleans.
Sure.
I spend a lot of my time in bars.
Right.
So I was really interested in this story that Ralph brought us on Friday about what's going on in Boston. This sounds serious, you guys.
It's a clip from the Showbiz Beat on Friday morning.
Boston's Liquor Licensing Board.
Oh, dear.
The city's liquor licensing board
yes.
has made a pretty severe threat to all the bars and restaurants in Boston.
Oh, no.
Control your people, or you won't be able to serve drinks in actual glasses any longer. Because there have been so many incidents of glasses being used as weapons.
Wow.
To injure, kill, and maim in Boston. That the Liquor Licensing Board is threatening to take away all glassware.
Listen.
From any restaurant that serves alcohol, and they will have to be served in a plastic container.
Have there been a lot of
a lot of fights breaking out? With
no, Pete, it's been perfectly peaceful.
Where people are using glass as a weapon. That's what I'm asking.
Where did you think this story came from?
You know where you should have been, got that from? When I said, because of the incidents where glasses were used as weapons to maim, kill, and hurt.
Were you
listening? I said it out loud.
What about what's happening in Boston, though, with the bars there?
You are adorable.
I mean.
Right. All right, so that happened Friday, and I think we can move on and get back to the story. So apparently there's something going on, you guys, where people are using glassware as a weapon.
Right, we heard the story, yeah.
People are getting hit over the head and whatnot, and they're talking about making them not use glasses in those bars and have to use, like, red Solo cups.
Right, we heard that.
So we wanted to find out on the front line. We asked Dave, who can we talk to? It's kind of hard to find a bar to talk to in Boston, but we found one. It's called Sully's Bar. And Sully from the place is on the line with us right now on K-Rock. Hey there, Sully.
Sully's Bar. How can I help you?
Kevin and Bean Show calling. Our producer said we could talk to you about the possible ban on glassware in your establishment.
Yeah, I could talk to you, but I've got to tell you, I'm real busy because we got the morning rush.
Oh, okay. There's a morning rush at a bar?
It's Boston!
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. So, has this been a problem in your establishment?
Nah. Listen, a few times a glass get broke, what are you going to do? Come on, bro. See, everybody's drinking. They're having a good time. I don't know what these people are talking about. Danny, cut it out! I'm serious. I'm on the phone about this.
That guy just sounded like somebody just broke a bottle.
Listen, you can't blame people for having a good time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Look, this past weekend, I had four customers who were killed by chairs, okay?
Oh, no.
Are we going to outlaw chairs now?
No.
Because picks up a chair and beats another guy to death with it? Is everybody have to stand up and drink?
Aren't you concerned?
That's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Aren't you concerned that four people died?
Nah. Okay. I'm concerned. I got four broken chairs.
Don't you have some sort of a problem with violence breaking out there in your establishment, Sully?
No, I just... Come on, Tommy. Seriously.
Now, what did Tommy do?
He took a pint glass and shoved it in the guy's eye.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Man.
That's all right. It was his bad eye. Okay.
All right. This,
the Liquor Licensing Board is making moves on establishments like yours where they're taking glasses away. Do you think that'll hurt your business if people come in and it's all plastic?
I think, listen, my customers, I think they would drink liquor off the floor if we put it down there. I don't think it's really all that much. It's not going to hurt my business, but it might hurt some of the more high-end places.
Yeah, maybe a more classy. Oh, no.
Come on, Leo.
What's Leo doing?
What did Leo do?
He didn't hurt anybody with the glasses. He just turned a table over on a guy's throat.
Oh,
and all the glasses
man.
Broke. Come on. Jamie.
I don't want to.
Get off of Paulie. This is ridiculous.
What?
This is these guys.
Maybe.
Sully, what's happening? It's only a way to run a business.
Sully,
should we let you go?
Is this a bad time?
No more breakfast happy hours. That's my idea.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:54.
Jimmy Kimmel is pretty much getting rave reviews across the board for his hosting job on the Academy Awards last night. He swore famously, by the way, he wanted to do a good enough job that he would be invited back so that he could decline. So you'd only have to do it one time. And I think he accomplished that. So we're going to talk about his performance and so much more from the Academy Awards last night, coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
He said at the end, I promise I'll never be back.
He did, yeah.
But I can't imagine he would hold true to that if they said, come on back.
But what's the advantage of saying yes again?
He can be great
awesome
again?
Yeah. How many times did Billy Crystal do it? And was great every time?
Like five or something,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. You think Jimmy's only got one in him?
No, it's not that. I'm just saying I don't know what the advantage is for the person doing it. Look, you don't get any money out of it, and it's a lot of work, and the only thing that can happen is he'll do worse, be hard to beat what he did last night.
Wow. What's wrong with you?
I'm just saying.
Glass half full bean.
Spoken like a lazy pessimist. I don't know. It's a lot of work. It won't go well.
Oh my God.
So I'm just going to sit here and drink chocolate milk. Thank God not everybody thinks the way you do, Bean.
Well, then they're wrong.
Have you given up?
I haven't. I'm just saying. Look, Jimmy went in. Jimmy went in there and he crushed it
last night.
Crushed it.
Uh-huh.
Why take a chance at besmirching his perfect legacy as an Oscar host?
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
I stand by it.
Something else right there.
Right?
You guys watching the Sun Records?
No.
On the CMT?
I watched the first half hour of the first episode and was very disappointed.
I'm so tired of life.
What have they done to you in New Orleans? Are you just walking the cemeteries? Is sweet death calling to you?
You just need to put yourself down.
I didn't think it was very good. I didn't like several of the actors that they had hired to play the real life people, and I wasn't interested. Look, that's my era and that's my history, and I love everything about that period of life.
Being came up in the 50s. You have to remember, he came of age in the 50s, and he lived in Memphis for many years. So
I love
his world. That's
his life. The Sun Records story. I read the Sam Phillips biography that came out last year. I mean, I'm really invested in that era and that history, but I just didn't think the show was very good.
Well,
why do you bring it up?
Because a lot of people are liking it, including me, and it pulled in 2.1 million viewers at its premiere.
This was a success.
It was a success for CMT, so they're very happy with the ratings as we look at the TV news for Sun Records, and I thought it was real good. I thought it was really entertaining.
Wow.
But, you know, I didn't work there like Bean did.
Right?
So
yeah.
He's got a vested interest.
Baby head, I don't like you.
Yeah. Yeah. You're a baby head.
You ever been to Sun Records, Sir Ralph?
I have.
It's fun, right?
Yes, it is. It's a lot of fun.
Wish the show was.
Everyone else is having fun.
Last night, of course, was the Academy Awards. Congratulations to all the winners. In case you missed it, here are the top award getters. Mahershala Ali for his work in Moonlight. He got actor in a supporting role. Actress in a supporting role went to Viola Davis for her work in Fences. The best actor went to Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. Actress in a leading role, Emma Stone, for her work in La La Land. La La Land also picked up the directing award. The original song, original score, original screenplay went to Kenneth Lonergan, who wrote Manchester by the Sea. And, of course, the best picture was La La Land for a couple minutes, and then it was Moonlight for the rest of the night. So congratulations to everybody who won. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. L.A. Lakers legend James Worthy is 56 years old today. Rosanda Chili Thomas of TLC turns 46. Josh Groban is 36. And actress Kate Mara celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
By the way, since Jimmy will never host again, because why would he? We've established that. You know who would be a good host that I was thinking about last night? Tell me if you guys think I'm crazy. Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, he'd be great.
I think he'd be really, really good.
Sure.
Okay, I just wanted to throw it out there in case anyone is interested.
Okay, thanks, Ben.
Well, you know how they always say that they start planning for the next year's show the day after that one ends. So right now they're going, all right, who are we going to get to host it next year?
Well, I hope it's Jimmy. Jimmy was great.
Yeah, he shouldn't do it, though. He should stay away from that.
So Jimmy comes out last night and he says, you know, people kept telling me that I should come out here and I should make an announcement to bring the country together. And somehow we should be able to do that. And I think we should do it more on a one-on-one basis. So I want to talk about somebody that I'm having a problem with.
Matt Damon. Now, Matt, I've known Matt for a long time now. You know what? I've known Matt so long. When I first met Matt, I was the fat one. Okay? True. And we've had problems. He's a selfish person. Those of you who've worked with him know this. But Matt did something very unselfish, and I want to commend him for it. For real. Matt, as you probably know, could have starred in Manchester by the Sea. He was the producer. It's nominated for 6 Oscars, including lead actor. And he could have taken that lead actor part for himself, but he didn't. He gave that role to Casey Affleck, his childhood friend. He handed what turned out to be an Oscar-caliber role over to his friend and made a Chinese ponytail movie instead. And that movie, The Great Wall, went on to lose $80 million. Smooth move, dumbass.
Chinese ponytail movie.
Which, by the way, has made hundreds of millions of dollars around the world, too. How confusing must that feud be to people who don't watch Jimmy Kimmel's late night show?
Yeah, we've been talking about that all day. If you don't watch Jimmy's show, you don't know all of the history with Matt Damon.
Right.
So I don't know. I imagine there was a huge group of people going.
Yeah, but I think after a while you just think, wait, this is funny. Regardless, I don't know what it's about, but it was funny.
Jimmy thanked the president.
See, it's so easy to reach out and heal. And I want to say, maybe this is not a popular thing to say, but I want to say thank you to President Trump. I mean, remember last year when it seemed like the Oscars were racist?
I mean, that's amazing progress in one year.
I am stunned that the president has still not tweeted about the Oscars.
Same. Jimmy did his famous mean tweets Oscar edition.
Oh, look at me. I'm Ryan Gosling. I have perfect bone structure and kind eyes. Go f*** yourself, Ryan Gosling.
Casey Affleck is the real-life version of Billy Bob Thornton's character in Sling Blade.
Emma Stone looks like a crack whore in every role she plays. Great.
Robert De Niro's too old to be making gangster movies still. Dude needs to start playing grandfather roles or something. Yeah, I am playing grandfather roles. And pretty soon I'll be playing great-grandfather roles. F*** you.
I don't feel like you want him mad at you.
No, I don't think so either.
But the most strange moment of the night was the Best Picture, the very last award that they gave out. Warren Beatty looked confused when he read the card. And then they said La La Land was the Best Picture. Now, I've had to speed it up some because this whole thing took, I don't know, 8 minutes?
Oh, man.
Because they awarded the Best Picture to La La Land. Then they gave three speeches. Then they realized that they had made a mistake and La La Land wasn't the winner. And they gave it to Moonlight. So here's how that went.
And the Academy Award for Best Picture.
You're awful. La La Land.
Yeah! Oh, they all go crazy. They all walk up on stage.
Good night, everybody.
La La Land has 14 Oscar nominations this year.
The announcer gives us all of the different information on La La Land as they walk up to the stage.
Winning 7 Oscars, production design.
And Moonlight is so sad at this point.
Right, Moonlight's, oh, we had such a good shot.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you to the Academy. Thank you to Lionsgate. Thank you to our incredible cast and crew. We're all up here right now.
I had to speed it up a little.
Thank you to Jamie Feldman, to Gary Gilbert. Thank you to my parents for supporting.
And imagine the panic that's going on in the wings right now as it is starting to creep out back there that the wrong name was read.
My wife, Julia, whose shoulders I've stood for 40 years because she insisted I reach for the stars, and to the Hollywood community that I'm so proud to be a part of.
A full 2.5 minutes of speeches.
And somehow the people from the accounting firm have to get word to a producer so that they can get somebody out on stage to correct it, which must have been an incredibly difficult thing to get through to people in the heat of the moment.
So eventually, one of the producers of La La Land said,
and Damien Chazelle, we're standing on your shoulders. We lost, by the way, but you know.
Guys, I'm sorry. No.
We lost, by the way, he says.
That has to be the strangest thing that has ever been said in an Oscar accepted speech.
After 2.5 minutes of accepted speech, then they say they lost and they give it to Moonlight.
There's a mistake. Moonlight, you guys won Best Picture.
Moonlight won. Come on, this is not a joke.
This is not a joke. I'm afraid they read the wrong thing.
This is not a joke. Moonlight has won Best Picture. Moonlight, Best Picture.
One of the weirdest things that has ever happened. So now the entire cast of La La Land exits the stage, and the entire cast of Moonlight comes up on stage.
This is very unfortunate what happened.
I'm going to be really proud to hand this to my friends from Moonlight.
That's nice. Was that?
That's great.
Hello. Hello.
Now Warren Beatty's back.
Warren, what did you do?
I want to tell you what happened.
That was one of my favorite moments is Jimmy Kimmel yelling at Warren Beatty. And Warren Beatty is going to explain to us that he was given the wrong card.
I opened the envelope and it said, Emma Stone, La La Land. That's why I took such a long look at Faye and at you. I wasn't trying to be funny.
Well, you were funny.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Wow, this is...
This is Moonlight. The Best Picture.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Wow.
So that happened right there.
So
that went on.
So La La Land, they're sad, of course, but is and Moonlight is happy. But you know who else is the happiest person in the world right now? Is Steve Harvey.
Yeah. Right? That's like sweet redemption. Like, it
really
can happen
is
to
because
anyone.
That's his way. That's now he doesn't look like the biggest F up in the world for because stuff like that does happen and it happens on a much bigger stage even than his Miss Universe pageant. So he's got to be delighted with this.
This has only happened one other time in the Oscars. And when was it? The '40s or
in
something?
1964. 64. With Sammy Davis Jr. And it was a category I think that doesn't exist anymore. One of the it was a minor music category, and it was corrected right away. In 80-something years, this is only the second time it's ever happened. And as you pointed out earlier, it's kind of, you know, with everything that's going on up there on stage, it's kind of a surprise it doesn't happen more often.
Yeah. Right. Imagine the number of people who shut off the TV after 2 minutes of La La Land saying
sure.
Thank you.
Oh, sure.
It's a long show. I guess we saw it, honey. Let's go to bed.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Hey, I have one other question about something about the Oscars that we haven't talked about at all today. And, Ralph, I want to get your take on this. Did Walmart blow a colossal amount of money on those short films made from those items on a receipt last night?
I hope so, because they were wildly entertaining.
I assume so. I mean, it was a commercial.
It has to cost a lot of money to buy several minutes during the Academy Awards, and I got nothing out of that made me want to go buy anything at Walmart.
But there's old-timey 1890 barbershop quartet guys on scooters. Doesn't that make you want to go to Walmart?
That escaped me. I missed that. I don't know what was going on.
That was a swing and a miss from Walmart.
It seemed like it.
All three films were like, huh? And then factor in the production cost to make those commercials, then the buying the airtime.
Yeah,
right.
The Mama June from Hot Not to Hot made me want to go to Walmart more. Because those are the kind of people you see at Walmart, actually.
All right. It is Monday morning, the day after the Academy Awards, 9:37. Ralph has our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
By the way, I heard your friend LaQuisha on the air this morning.
Yeah.
So I did a little research, and she's absolutely right. This is a photograph from Mama June being interviewed on her reality show. And you can see the prosthetic face. Her fat face is peeling off of her face. Her fake double chin is peeling off her face.
So
they used her prosthetic makeup and a fat suit to make her look fat for the interview section of her show.
Why didn't they just interview her when she was fat, which was all of her life?
I'm guessing because the premise of the show was for her to get thin, and so they didn't want to invest a lot of money into the project if she wasn't going to actually go through with that.
But
there's no guarantee that she was going to get fat.
It's a reality show, so it has to be real.
Oh, that's right, Bean. I forgot. Yes,
I'm going from not too hot.
She did give up on diet and exercise in less than 2 weeks and go right to surgery. That's what we love about Mama June.
You're shocked that she would take the simple and the least effort way out of her situation? All right, let's talk about movies, right? It's Oscars. We're still in the Oscar glow. The post-Oscar glow, as it were. Last night, of course, was Hollywood's biggest night, as they call it. Here's who won. Mahershala Ali for his work in Moonlight. He got the Best Actor in a Supporting Role award. Best Actress in a Supporting Role, Viola Davis for Fences. Best Animated Feature Film was Zootopia. Best Original Score and Song both went to La La Land. Best Adapted Screenplay was Moonlight. Best Original Screenplay, Manchester by the Sea by Kenneth Lonergan. Best Director was Damien Chazelle for La La Land. Someone called him Damien Chazelle last night. I forget who. I think it was Halle Berry who was giving out the award. Said, Damien Chazelle. It's like, ooh, that's very exotic, but that's not his name. Best Actor in a Leading Role, Casey Affleck for Manchester by the Sea. Actress in the Leading Role, Emma Stone for La La Land. And then Best Picture ultimately turned out to be Moonlight. Eventually.
After once they got it, after a bit of a snafu.
Squared away, yeah. Sad movie news. One of my favorites. Actor Bill Paxton has passed away. So many great scenes and so many great movies. Aliens, Terminator, True Lies, Titanic. Let's not forget Weird Science. Remember, he was Chet.
Right. Yeah.
You're stewed, buttwad. So good in that.
Saw a lot of Chet love online over the weekend.
Yeah. I think that's where most of us first fell in love with him, was in that movie.
I loved A Simple Plan.
That was after Weird Science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just naming things.
Just naming
a movie.
In.
Yeah, I really liked that one.
He was great in that, yes.
True Love, Big Love, his show on HBO. He was terrific in that as well. Just 61 years old. Died with complications following heart surgery. So, really sad news. However, in some positive good medical news, congratulations to Shannon Doherty. She has finished her chemotherapy and radiation treatments in her battle against breast cancer, and apparently things are looking really good. She hasn't sit out in the woods just yet, but she said there's a waiting game to see if she's clear, but apparently all signs are positive, so good. I wish her the best. Over the weekend, went to see what people went to see in the theaters. Get Out, number one at the box office this weekend with $30.5 million.
So great.
The Lego Batman movie was number two. So great. Boom, I could do that too.
Didn't see that one yet.
Oh, see?
Get Out, that was so great. Back to you.
What was great about it, Kevin?
It was much more suspenseful than you expected. You watch the trailer and you think, okay, I know what this is. And then you go to the theater and it exceeds all of your expectations. And that rarely happens.
Wow.
Especially in horror movies.
And all the people from Star Tours were there. And they came in the theater and there was a funny show, too.
The Lego Batman movie, so good, was number two. John Wick Chapter 2 was third. The Great Wall was fourth. 50 Shades Darker was fifth. Fist Fight! Sixth. Hidden Figures, La La Land, Split, and Lion were the rest of your top 10 films at the box office this weekend.
Is Moonlight still in theaters for folks who want to try to see it?
Yeah, I think I saw it at Arclight.
All right.
I believe it is still in theaters, yes. And sad news, Judge Wapner has passed away. He sat on the bench for the People's Court, right? Way back in the beginning. He was the first. We have him to blame for Judge Judy and Judge Marilyn and Judge Curtis and Judge Louie and Judge Felipe. And
who's the guy with the bat?
Oh, yeah, Texas Justice. Buford T. Pusser. I forget his name, but he started it all. He was married to his wife, Mickey, for 70 years. Judge Wapner was. Passed away at the age of 97 over the weekend. So, a tip of the cap from Rusty the Bailiff and a quick interview with Doug Llewellyn on the way out.
Is that how it works?
That's how it works, yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kate Mara is 34 years old today. Josh Groban's 36. Rosanda Chili Thomas from TLC turns 46. And James Worthy from the Los Angeles Lakers is 56 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive 5 p.m. hour this afternoon here on K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, including The Bachelor Report with Ralph and Petros Papadakis. And we continue with K-Rock Wheels Up 2017, destination number 5. You get tickets for the Red Hot Chili Peppers at Staples Center, and you qualify to see them in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, tomorrow morning on an all-new show.